This meeting is now being recorded.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is the new GTLD subsequent procedures subteam track one overall process support outreach issue call held on the 16th of May, 2017. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room. If you are only on the audio bridge, could you please let yourself be known now?
Yeah, hi, this is Jim Prendergast. I'm on audio only.
Thank you, Jim.
Cheryl, I will be eventually on the AC. I'm just having to restart my computer.
Same thing here, Cheryl. That's my issue.
Thank you. Hearing no more names, I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes, and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I will turn it back over to our co-chair, Sarah Bakke. Please begin.
Yes, this is Sarah Bakke, and thank you all for joining us today. Can you, Steph, bring up our slide for our agenda? And I will apologize in advance. I am at home this morning, and I'm having some work done on my house, so if you hear a lot of banging in the background, I do apologize. So today we're going to try to have a further discussion on the RPS program. So as you can see, it's going to be a very focused discussion hopefully today. Our agenda is welcome agenda overview. We'll see if anyone has updates to their SOI, have a discussion on the RSP program, any other business, and next meeting. Before we get into this, do we have anything specific that people would like to discuss during any other business? I'm not seeing any hands or anyone typing in the chat, so I will assume not. If something does come up, just please make a note or put it in the chat. And Jonathan, I see you have your hand up. Please go ahead.
Okay.
You're a little faint.
You hear me all right? Just checking if it's okay. Okay, I'll talk to the microphone. I guess I just got an overarching point. It's not really one AOB, and that's just recognizing that this work on RSP type issues is going on in numerous places, and so one of the things that I'm going to try and do my best to do is help with making sure it's coherent. There's this group, there's the community consultation, two work that's going on, the registry stakeholder groups have their own work going on in and around registry service provider issues. The registry stakeholder group's got a letter that is being prepared to cover some of these points to this group. So just one of the reasons I woke up and wanted to and help make sure we and therefore your group doesn't ultimately end up with sort of incoherent or responses that don't match. So that's the overview point of the outcome.
Thank you, Jonathan. And you were sort of fading in and out there, but I think I did get the gist of what you were saying that. And yes, we are aware that there are several discussions going on regarding a potential RPS program, and we definitely would like to make sure that all the work is coordinated. I believe the working group that was put together for the RSP program is we having a meeting maybe tomorrow or later this week. I don't think they've had many discussions yet or to date. And, you know, to the extent that we can, we're going to be trying to address just the potential policy issues in this, but most definitely we'll need to coordinate to make sure that it all works together and matches up. So any information that people get or become aware of, please do share it with this group just to make sure that we all are on the same page, because it will be very important to make sure that we're all in sync as we move forward. And so that was an excellent point, and thank you for bringing it up, Jonathan. So before we get underway, does anyone have any changes to their SOIs? I'm not seeing anyone's hand raised, so I will assume not. And I believe our, well, now that it's on here, we can get to it. I think our next meeting will be, could staff put when the next meeting will be in the chat, just so that everyone is aware, before I hand this over to Krista. I see there's been a few discussions, some chatting in the chat room. Oh yes, Jonathan Robinson noted that Correct, the RS, the registry stakeholder group, is scheduled to meet tomorrow, and they'll be having a discussion regarding the RSP program. And looks like that is it. Okay, yes, our next meeting will be on May 30th, and they'll be probably more specific. There we go, 2000 UTC. Perfect. With that, I think we can go ahead and turn it over to Krista to get into the more substantive discussion here. So, Krista, it is all you.
Thanks, Sarah. Julie or Steve, can we open up the draft document that's in Google Docs? Alternatively, just for everyone's reference, I'll also share the link for Eve. So this is the same document that we initially, I guess, showed last meeting, and no one had really seen it. So since then, it's obviously been shared more. There were a lot more comments on it, and tried to, I guess, clean it up so that everyone can, all of the points are all kind of categorized to the different areas as an initial kind of start to the document. And there were some questions on what the purpose of the document was. So this is kind of my interpretation of everything, as well as trying to pull it all together into one cohesive document that we can begin to work our way through and see what we can hash out, see if there's we are all on the same page and in agreement that a registry service or RSP accreditation program or something with that same term or theory is the right way to go, or perhaps it isn't, taking another completely different perspective on it. So that's kind of where it started from, and this is just, I guess, for this call, the idea is to maybe go through some of the different items in it and see what we can hash out to be a little bit more clear or to capture additional ideas, or is there a framework in there that we can add to each idea so that we have a clear pathway forward. So hopefully everyone can see the document and open it, and maybe we can just work off of that as we go through the call. So if we open it up and we see the first document purpose, and I'm sure this is my interpretation trying to capture all the different ideas. So I just said the purpose is to capture the problems related to the new GTLD technical evaluation and PDT processes that were repetitive, resource-intensive, resulting in inefficiencies. How do we overcome these inefficiencies? Would a RSP program help solve these issues? And if so, what would be included in the framework? So I started the core considerations, and I didn't get further into that. But as a starting point, perhaps we can all discuss that and whether or not we would like to add more to the purpose of the document. Jonathan, I see you have your hand raised, so please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Krista. I think just one, I think that captures from as I understand it, the purpose well. And then it goes on to ask what would an RSP program help solve these issues? If so, what? The other thing to do is, if not an RSP program, are there other remedies that could deal with the problems? Because I think the key is to resolve the issues. And I appreciate that the chart asked the question, would an RSP program work? But it's also what one wouldn't want to do is say no, and therefore there's no solution. It's if an RSP program isn't the resolution, is there something else that could resolve it? So that seems to me to be a productive way to slightly extend the purpose. Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Jonathan. I'll make some notes as we go, and I'll have to probably clean it up because I'm really not that great at multitasking several different things. But I'll add it in there for sure, and as you can see, I've just included that. And along your same point is the question, is it, and this came up before in other conversations, is it repetitive and resource intensive because it was an interpretation of the rules and a form of the application rather than the fault of the rules themselves? So I kind of put that there as an overwhelming thought process in there to make sure that we kind of keep in the back of our head as we move forward. So one of the other parts you'll see is that I've moved them to other parts to try to keep it tight and focused for each area. And then I did read some of everyone's comments, and I tried to include them in there. Near the end, I got a little bit tired on it, so I need to spend a little bit more time on that. But let's maybe just kick off with security number one, which is security and stability of GTLDs must not be negatively impacted and preferably improved. And wondering if anyone has any discussions and consideration points to add to this item, and or any, say, proposed framework that would help going forward.
Krista, this is Sarah.
Yep.
I just want to note, Donna, I saw you had your hand up and then you took it back down. I just wanted to make sure you didn't have anything that you were wanting to say.
Thanks, Sarah. Donna Austin, it was in relation to Krista's question about was the repetitive resource intensive technical evaluation and pre-delegation testing and interpretation of the rules. We have had some discussion about this within the registry stakeholder group working group, but more from the perspective of the swap out of an RSP. And in that case, I think we believe that, and I think ICANN has recently come back to us saying that this is the requirement for PDT testing associated with the swap out of an RSP and the associated process that a registry operator has to go through is largely a process that was developed by ICANN absent any community engagement on that process. And the registry stakeholder group is going to start a discussion with ICANN about, what could be done to improve that process. I think in terms of the application process itself, I think it was realized early on that the process was repetitive, but I don't know that it was actually, I don't think it was anticipated because the assumption going into the program, going into the 2012 application process was that registry operators would more than likely provide their own back-end service, and I don't think it was anticipated that, you know, with the 1,900 applications that you would have 90% of the RSPs being done by, 10 or so operators. So I appreciate the question, and I think it's probably a little bit of interpretation of rules and then not being in a position to change it as it played out. So I just wanted to respond to that. Thanks, Sarah.
Thanks, Donna. I do have item number 10, I think, as the item for swapping registries. So going back to item 1, and hopefully everyone's had now a little bit of time to read it, is there anything that we need to add in the considerations and or any proposed framework?
Hey, Krista, it's Jim Prendergast. I'm sorry, I'm still technology challenged.
No, go ahead.
So I guess, you know, what I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think what you're asking for here is, you know, comments on these three bullets underneath that number one. You know, I think there's been some information released by ICANN over the last couple months, including as recently as Saturday, that shows that even existing registry providers for the 2012 round are struggling and in many cases are not meeting SLAs and getting to an EBRO threshold, even though ICANN has not actually triggered the EBRO process. So I think we've got to be careful about, you know, automatically, you know, saying anybody who's met the 2012 threshold, you know, somehow should be grandfathered or something like that. I think there continues to be problems. I'm not sure how much we only know what ICANN is telling us, and it's taken a while for them to tell us a lot about it. So I think we've got to be careful heading down this path that anybody who passed the 2012 round should automatically be brought forward and, you know, get the approval or get the, you know, get the, I don't want to say accreditation is the word I know I'm not supposed to use, but get the pre-approval that some are looking for.
Thanks, Jim. I've had a comment again. I'll have to clean it up a little bit later, but we'll make sure that we consider that going forward, and I think that'll tie into another later one as well. So we'll need to keep that in mind. So having no other comments or – oh, sorry, Donna, you have your hand raised. Go ahead.
Thanks, Krista. Donna Austin. Jim, I wasn't aware of that information that's been published, but it's a good point that you raise. I think it would also be helpful to understand why ICANN has not pulled the EBRO pin on these. You know, was it because ICANN had a sense that a phone call and a 5-minute process would fix the problem, or... You know, I think we need to understand the level of the problem that was identified. So, you know, as I said, I haven't seen the information that was released, but the more information we have on this, the better we would be prepared to be able to respond to these, you know, to this question in particular. Thanks.
Yeah, I think, Donna, this is Jim. I think, you know, early on when Steve Chan provided a response to the group. I don't know if it was this work track or the larger group. I think the ICANN made a decision on its own that by invoking EBRO, it may have actually led to more issues than less. But the info I'm referring to was a presentation given by somebody in the Chief Technology Officer's office at the DNS Symposium that was held Saturday in Madrid. And I can send it to somebody here, and they can maybe cycle it out to the entire group. But it's, you know, there's a couple of slides on just how many incidences there have been. And it's, I mean, I'm in the middle of Windows Update hell right now, so I cannot access my computer. But don't quote me, but I think there was something like 24 of 27 registry operators have had an SLA breach, and that's on the back-end side. So, but it's pretty telling, and it shows you that there's, you know, just because you've been, quote-unquote, approved by ICANN in this round doesn't necessarily mean that you're doing what the contract is requiring.
Thanks, Jim. Totally going to quote you on that, by the way. Steve, I saw you had your hand up a second ago. Did you have something to add, or did you change mind?
Thanks, Chris. This is Steve Chan from staff. I was just in response to Jim's comment. So I've actually put the information in the chat, but the question regarding the Ebro was posed by the WorkTrack 2. It was for them around the aspects of registrar protection. And you'll see that in the chat. I'm putting in the response from the GDD in relation to that question.
Thanks.
Thanks, Steve. So, Jim, when you get your computer out of Windows Hell, there's a comment. any other comments, or should I move to item number 2? Jonathan, I see you have your hand raised. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Krista, I'm not sure how completely coherent my point is, but I think this does raise a really Jim's point and others about this issue of it's linked to your fifth bullet point, which is the race to the bottom and the prospect of setting a threshold that defines some form of accredited or approved minimum threshold, which then is not really fit for purpose, which is one of the key concerns with a form of accreditation. So I think it's in and around this area, and it's really making sure that any work that we do, any recommendations we make, actually seeks to address the problems, which you very, very neatly stated in the first instance when you defined your sort of problem statement, which is really about repetitive and arguably unnecessary testing of the same criteria, rather than defining that a registry was necessarily fit for purpose or meeting a particular threshold. So, as I said, I haven't got my thoughts fully formed on that, but I think it does highlight a key point, and we'll have to be mindful of that as we work through what is actually being solved and what are the current problems that are being manifest. And certainly one of them is there's repeat testing, and another is repeat subcritical performance issues that don't quite entail invoking an Ebro, and actually in some ways question whether Ebro is fit for purpose and the thresholds as defined are fit for purpose. But try and bring those points in at the times when they're most relevant. Thanks, Krista.
Thanks, Jonathan. You raised another great point there, and I'll try to add it again into the problem statement. Any other comments? And perhaps because, as Jonathan just brought up, item number 5 is somewhat linked to that, and I didn't actually link these in my categorization. Maybe we'll jump to 5 because it does somewhat tie in. Item number 5 is RSPs must be able to innovate and differentiate themselves. And all I was doing was capturing the ideas from before. And again, we had lots of race to the bottom concerns. And we also want to, you know, allow them to have different services rather than just having the one homogenization of the backend. So even, and there were also some comments which I think were pretty valid, was that the base agreement that applies is set the core standards. So it still leaves lots of plenty of room for innovation and competition. Does anyone have any comments and or framework that might be useful for this item? I see Jeff in the chat room says, how is setting SLAs in agreement now any different from setting them in a pre-approval process? I don't see any hands. Anyone? some discussion on the chat board. So there's a question of, and Jeff, if you'd like to speak up on the concern on the race to the bottom. No hand. Okay. I'll continue. Assuming that no one wants to add anything to item five, I will jump up back to item number two, which is efficiency in evaluation of pre-delegation for ICANN applicants and RSPs must be improved. So this one's, at least we had a little bit of proposed framework here. Pretty much it was, the idea is that by the reduction of the number of evaluations and PDT, we can, you know, reduce the redundancies and there should be some cost savings there. And there should be improved coordination between everyone. And so the proposed framework is that there would be some kind of tick box indicating whether that they will engage with a certified provider. And again, certified provider accreditation, whatever we term it is, I don't want to get hung up on that. But the idea is to have a tick box, whether they will use one, whether they will have their own infrastructure, or they will go through some kind of technical testing, and there is some overlap there. So that's the current framework on that. Would anyone like to add any different perspectives or information or thoughts, considerations to that? Okay. Yes, not. I'll move to item three. And this is a working document, so anyone can add anything. I just tried to clean it up. So even after this call, please spend some time on it and add and think on the items. Also, sorry, Trang, I see you have your hand up. Please go ahead.
Thank you. This is Trang. I have a question, a clarifying question on section two here, where it says coordination between ICANN and RSP should be improved. I assume that's in regards to communication. So if ICANN needs to communicate directly with RSPs relating to the technical responses to the technical questions of the application, is it envisioned that the primary contact for the application itself would be part of that communication chain as well, or is it expected that ICANN would only communicate with the RSP? And the reason for my question is that obviously the primary contact for the application has overall responsibility for that application, including providing any responses to clarifying questions in a timely manner. And so if ICANN is communicating with the RSP only and the RSP is not responding, would have an overall impact on the application, and the applicant would be the one that would be responsible. So I just wanted to clarify what was envisioned here in this section. Thank you.
Sorry. Thanks, Trang. I've added a comment, and hopefully we can clarify that further. Donna, if you have your hand raised, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Christiana Austin. Trang, just in relation to your comment, I think we're looking at this from the perspective of, you know, what's happened in the past and how can we improve it in the future. And one of the things that we have discussed on this group is that rather than the technical component being included in the full application itself, that RSPs would have an opportunity to become pre-approved prior to an application window and pre-approved on the basis of, and we haven't you know, determine requirements yet, but something akin to going through the process of answering the technical questions that are similar to the previous application and undertaking something akin to pre-delegation testing, but only having to do it once rather than the repetitive nature that happened in the 2012 round, in that the evaluators were essentially evaluating, when it came to the technical component of the applications, they were evaluating the same information many, many, many times because of the small number of RSPs that were supporting the large number of applicants. So I just wanted to provide you with that kind of context. So we've had that conversation in, a pre-approval kind of process, but in terms of coordination between ICANN and the RSPs being improved, that's also a conversation that's happening in the context of the current situation that exists now with, ICANN has a relationship with the contracted party, which is the registry operator, and the registry operator has a contractual relationship with the RSP to provide services, but there is currently no mechanism for, no formal mechanism, informal does happen, but there's no formal mechanism for ICANN to reach out directly to an RSP in relation to anything that, might be going on that they want to talk to the RSP about. They currently have to go through, as you said, through the technical contact that's identified by the registry operator. So I think we're having this conversation around a couple of different ideas that we've been discussing over the last few months. Thanks.
Thank you, Don. If I can have a quick follow-up, it wasn't entirely clear to me that the RSP program, or whatever it ended up being called, would also replace the technical evaluation, or if it would serve as a replacement for pre-delegation testing. So thank you for that clarification.
Great. Thanks, Donna and Trang. Donna, I see your hand raised. I assume it's an old one, and I thought there was somebody else, but perhaps I missed it. Okay. I'll leave, unless anyone has any other comments on item two, I'll leave that for now and allow everyone to process it. And again, feel free to update the document, and I'll move to item number three. Item number three is the evaluation and pre-delegation testing must be consistent, predictable, and to the extent possible, objective. I only had one item here, which is, I did incorporate some comments on there. So, multiple evaluations of the same registry provider by different evaluators, more or less diligent evaluations that led to inconsistent evaluation results. So sorry, it's not very well written on my part. Despite presenting the exact same technical registry solution. So the essence is pretty much it wasn't always consistent across it wasn't consistent, and how do we make sure that we have increased consistency? And anyone have any comments and or further items that they would like to add to that or proposed framework? Jeff, I see you have your hand raised. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. This is Jeff Newman. It was my understanding, and if Frank can confirm it was my understanding that there were three different technical evaluators, or maybe two, that Jazz Advisors served as kind of a coordinating body to attempt to make sure that the results were consistent. And to me, that seems, I fully understand why they did that. But I think they missed some things. But at the end of the day, you're paying extra cost to have someone in the middle to make sure that, okay, the three firms are being consistent. Whereas if you just had the evaluation once for a back-end provider, and maybe someone kind of doing quality checking on that evaluator, that would save some cost. So just wanted to add that in there.
Thanks, Jeff. Does anyone have any proposed framework on how a program or how we would overcome that, which would also, again, save costs or improve consistency? I see something in chat that's not directly related to this. I'll have to go back and incorporate it. Okay, I don't see anyone suggesting or having any ideas around that. So again, I'll move to the next one in hopes that we can get some more conversation going on it later. Item number four, the cost associated with the evaluation and testing of the RSP should be borne by the RSP as opposed to the applicant, where the applicant and RSP are not the same entity. So there's a couple bullet points there on the discussion. One is that the RSPs in the 2012 round should be given some kind of pre-certification. And the second one is, in essence, ICANN application costs should decline and the accreditation cost RSPs could be recovered from the RSP applicants. So it's really just a change in costing there as opposed to one going up and the other, you know, being charged twice, technically. Does anyone have any other discussion and considerations and or framework that they would like to add to item number four?
Hey, Krista, it's Jim Prendergast. I don't know, do my comments from earlier carry over to this section or do I need to restate them? Particularly grandfathering the 2012s.
Yeah, no, you're right. I should add that in there.
So let me, I actually found the statistics. I was wrong. It's 32 out of 37 RSPs have had at least one DNS service failure since September 25th, 2014.
Okay.
I sent
Sorry, that was
Steve
32
I
out of 47?
32 out of 37.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Steve, I emailed you a link to the presentation. It was by Gustavo at the DNS symposium.
Great. Thanks, Jim. I'll have to go back and add some comments on there. Does anyone else have anything that they would like to add to item number four? Jeff, I see you have your hand raised.
Yeah, thanks. And this is not necessarily item four, but it's on some of the stuff going on in the chat. I think, and I actually think Ashley Roberts said it right in his comment. There's a lot of discussion going on about how we don't want to that we don't want to have a race to the bottom, that we're worried about having minimum standards that are too low. And I think, as Ashley says, those are really two different discussions. Standards are being discussed in WorkPAC 4. And, you know, whatever they are today, you know, one thing we want to make sure is that we don't want to create additional barriers to entry for the future. If everyone feels like the standards today are too low or that's not improving security and stability, I guess WorkPAC 4 could make recommendations that everyone, including existing operators, move up to a higher standard. And then, of course, that would be applied to the future as well. But I think one of the things we need to be cognizant of in this group is not create additional barriers to entry that do not already exist today. I just want to make sure we're careful about that, because then we kind of get to a little bit of AC Water, but I do agree that these are two different discussions. This discussion is about whether the process should be done in advance and how that should be conducted, as opposed to what are the standards for a registry service provider, which, as Ashley, I think, said, is really in the remit of Work Track 4.
Thanks, Jeff. I'm trying to find if there's one of the topics that relates directly to that conversation, so we can maybe capture some of that as well.
It's really in the conversation that talks about a race to the bottom and things like that. I mean, our intent is not to, I don't think it should be anyway, I don't think the intent should be to create lower standards or minimum standards to race to the bottom. If people are concerned about those standards, then I guess that's for Work Track 4 to talk about the technical standards. We're really talking about timing, consolidation, things like that in terms of the RSP program. Thanks.
Thanks. So item number 8 kind of gets into that, so I'll jump to that. But, Jonathan, I'll let you go ahead first. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Krista. So, again, I think that's expressed quite well in the original purpose. So, you know, providing that is the purpose is to mitigate the sort of repeat testing or the duplicative work at the outset, that's all very good. And so I can see why anything on standards might be better dealt with in the appropriate place in Work Track 4. But it's just important then that we don't drift into that, because that's when one starts to respond in that way. I agree. If the purpose is tightly scoped like it is, as you did do very well in the first instance, it's easy to stick to that. So thanks.
Thanks, Jonathan. So I'm going to skip to item number 8 because I think there's a lot more meat to that, and it seems to be right on topic to what everyone's discussing. So item number 8 is pre-approval of RSPs could be done in such a way as to take into account the capacity of the RSPs, the type of TLDs they support, and the services they provide. And there were multiple comments that I tried to capture in here. So in the discussion and considerations, you're going to see 4 or 5 bullets along with in the proposed framework. Perhaps I'll give everyone a couple seconds to read it if you haven't already read it. So having some time to read it, does anyone have anything that they would like to add to it? So, Donna, I see you have your hand raised. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Krista. Donna Austin. I guess this is just the context that we as, NUSA, have had some conversations about whether it's possible to do this, get an understanding of whether a registry can, the ability of a registry to scale without actually doing it, and whether it's possible to assess at a theoretical level whether a registry could actually manage, you know, X number of domains under management or different types of TLDs, or, you know, whether in fact there's a distinction between different types of TLDs. So just a general premise that this is may not be easy to do in a preparatory phase. And I think one of the conversations that this group had some time ago now is one of the reasons that we would do you know, one of the reasons that we discussed having some kind of pre-approval process is that an applicant wouldn't have to identify who their RSP was at the time, given that they might be in contention or something like that, so it would be something that they could identify at a later time. And also at a later time, once you understand, you know, similarly for an RSP, they would have a better understanding at the end of their, potentially the evaluation process, of how many TLDs they would potentially be supporting, and maybe that would be a better time to assess whether they have the capability to do that. So, you know, I guess just a contextual piece with this question is that, you know, there's a number of different parts to it, so it's difficult to assess if you don't understand, you know, that there are various elements that could result in an answer to this question. Sorry I'm so vague on it, but it's not something that is kind of easy. You know, when we've had discussions internally about this, we've come to agree that this isn't necessarily easy to do. Thanks.
Thanks, Donna. I understand exactly what you're trying to say, and I would think that, and I could be completely wrong, the program should be able to create perhaps some kind of algorithm or some other formula or methodology where they could probably take the predicted volume of some sort, however that's calculated, and or perhaps there's some kind of accreditation based on the number of predicted domains under management in the future or some other methodology there to consider that. And I probably haven't really captured enough of that in the discussion and considerations and or if that's even possible. But I think that is something that we should consider in this. And I'm just sorry, I'm trying to read what's already there already. And we kind of, you have, I think I captured, actually I put your reference right into there that it didn't consider the number of TLDs the RSP was reporting and therefore did not test the capacity. So we kind of have the idea there. Well, I'll just expand it out. Does anyone else have any comments or feedback that they would like to add to this? So I see there's some pricing going on in the chat. No one else has any comments, but we were so busy talking about it before. Come on. Okay. I will go back to item number 6. And item number 6 is an RSP program should be designed in such a manner so it does not increase ICANN's liability. And in the discussion and considerations, so we have a couple of items along with the proposed framework. And Donna, I captured a lot of this through your document, which was super helpful. And I probably missed a few things, but hopefully it helps at least as a starting point. Anyone have anything that they would like to add? Okay, guess not. Item 7, applicants must have access to a list of registry service providers and a list of the functional areas they have been approved for through the RSP program. And there was a great comment here that the additional services and the different functional areas would have to be covered off, which I tried to capture in the discussion and considerations. And really the proposed framework so far is that the functional areas of RSP have to be tested upon and needs to be clear and easily understood to potential operator. Does anyone have anything that they would like to add to item number 7? Okay. Item number 9. Applicants must not be required to select a pre-approved RSP, but shall be able to either propose providing their own registry services or selecting a new RSP. If that occurs, such RSP must be evaluated prior to the ultimate selection of the applicant to manage one or more specified PLDs. Donna, I see you have your hand raised. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, Krista, this was in relation to 7. I just want to clarify, what do we mean by functional areas? Is that in relation to the different services that a registry provides? So IDNs, things like that? Is that what we're talking about when we say functional areas?
It's Krista. Yeah, that's what I was trying to capture in there, and that's what were in the comments. So, yes. So I'm just going to add a comment here. Anyone else have any other comments on 7 or 9? Okay, I'll jump to 10. And I don't really have any comments or anything on this. It was just raised. How do we solve the issues of changing from one service provider to another service provider? And I know this is one of the bigger topics, so we need to somehow add a lot more meat and to deal with this one a lot better. Donna, is that an old hand or a new hand?
Well, it's the same hand, but I have a comment.
Go ahead. Thanks.
So in relation to solving the issues of changing from one service provider to another, that is something that the Registry Stakeholder Group Working Group is looking at now, and hopefully we'll be able to provide some guidance on this, because this is a live or current issue that registry operators are currently dealing with at the moment. So we're working with ICANN. We've only recently started these discussions to understand how we can how the process can be improved and or enhanced in some way.
Hi, Krista. This is Steve from staff. I'm not sure if you're trying to speak, but we're not hearing anything. Thanks.
Oh, sorry. Thank you. I was on mute. So a couple minutes left, and I'll just jump into 11 quickly here as a starting point for everyone, which is, if a RSP program is the agreed-upon solution, do we have different categories or providers? Does anyone have any discussion or considerations that they would like to add or proposed framework? And currently we have in a proposed framework that we would have different levels of potential accreditation, such as proven providers, pre-certified providers, and post-application certification providers. Seeing no comments or hands being raised. Again, I'll leave that item for everyone to add some information or thoughts on, and we will finish up the call on that note. Thank you for everyone's time. And again, just as a reminder that the next call is on May. Sorry, go ahead.
Hey, sorry, it's Jim Prendergast. Could you? Will this document? Will there be a link to this document sent around in the follow-up notes so that we can just access it more directly?
Yeah, it will, and it's it should be there already. So, but I'll make sure that it is, and you will see a link in yesterday's reminder on today's call.
Perfect.
Thanks. Just a quick reminder, the next call is on the 30th of May at 2000 UTC, and please do spend a little bit of time on the document and adding in your comments, and I'll make sure that they are appropriately captured in the right areas and trying to make it a really succinct document that we can all work off. Again, thank you for everyone's time, and we're right on time. So have a great day.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Today's meeting is adjourned. Please disconnect all lines. And everyone, thank you and have a fantastic day.